Good afternoon and welcome back to this worship service of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our call to worship this afternoon comes from Psalm 111, verses 1 to 4. Please hear God's call to you to come and worship Him. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Many reasons as to why we worship the Lord and His call to us to do that. It's not hard for us to do when we think about what the Lord has done for us. All His mercy and grace has been shown to us and to our children and our children's children. He gives us great cause to worship Him for the salvation that He has brought to us and the peace that He has brought to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand and sing Psalm 111a. Oh, praise the Lord with all my heart. Thanks to the Lord I'll bring. When we hear these words, I think it should speak to us that that's how we are to come, with grateful hearts, and to do this with all our hearts. So let's do that to God's praise. Psalm 111a. In our hearts through this covenant, now this new covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is Him, in Him, Lord, where we stand, that we come to worship You and to offer You praise for these marvelous works that You have given to us to remember forever. Thank You, Lord, for the shed blood which pays for our sin and washes us clean and makes us whole and gives us peace with You. We thank You, Lord, that You have provided all these means for us, because we are precious to You, and You have made us precious to You in the price that You have paid for us, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to worship You now with all our hearts, our soul, mind, and strength, and to love You that way as well. And we pray, Father, that You would sanctify this worship that we offer You and receive it in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Take your psalters, if you would, now, and turn to Psalm 85a. 85a. Stanza 2 says, "Forgiven have your people been, and you have covered all their sin. From us you've taken all your wrath, and turned from your fierce anger path." It is a wonderful thing that even as we talked about this morning, that through Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, and it will be forever, that also our sins are forever taken away from us. Because it is connected to Jesus being that forever high priest. And not only have our sins been taken away from us, but God's fierce anger has been taken away from us. And now we see mercy and grace shown to us. And that gives us cause to praise him. So let's do that, singing Psalm 85a as we remain seated.
Do, 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 do.
This is where Jesus catches up with some disciples walking along the road, and they are perplexed and dismayed about the crucifixion and don't understand all that is happening. And so Jesus comes and walks with them and talks with them. That is not the reason we are reading this particular passage, though. The reason we are reading this particular passage is where it comes down to the end and where Jesus blesses the disciples. right before his ascension. We're going to be talking about the blessing of God today. This is the word of God, his holy and inspired writings, written to you as people. Luke chapter 24, verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. May God use the reading of his word to sanctify and teach you his people and glorify himself. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. We have many other things we need to be lifting up to the Lord, asking him to work on behalf of his church. Let us pray together. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, that you give it to us to instruct us that we may know you and know how we are to live before your face. Thank you, Father, for the great encouragement that it is to us. And pray, Father, that you would help us to treasure it more and more. We confess, Lord, that there are times when we don't. There are times when we look to other things and other places and other people for guidance and wisdom, when we have all that we need for life and godliness here in your word. For every aspect of our life, for all of faith, for all that you have called us to do, we find it here in your word. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to treasure it and prize it. And not only to do that with our mouths or with our thoughts, but how we handle your word, and how we receive your word, and the frequency and the sincerity in which we go to it. We do also ask, Lord, that you would teach us, help us to understand your word, that we may know how we are to live before you and what our duties are before our holy God. Father, we thank you for this church. Thank you for what you are doing here. Thank you for the ministry of sermon audio and how it is reaching people, people that we don't even know in other countries and other states here in America. Thank you for all those who are putting in the work to make that happen. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to use sermon audio for your glory and for the godly sermons that are preached there. Father, we do thank you for our visitors today. Pray, Lord, that this worship service they were able to attend with us was an encouragement to them and would be instructive to them as well. We don't know, Lord, their whole situation. We know they have a church, and we know there are issues with it. We just pray, Father, that what they experienced today would be a blessing to their soul, and you would use it to minister to them. Thank you, Lord, for giving safe travel to all the elders from Presbytery and Synod. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to use the work that was done at Synod for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his body, the church. We do thank you for Levi and Autumn and the child they had this week, for Jemima. Pray, Father, that you would bless this family. Help Levi and Autumn to continue to raise their children in nurture and admonition of you and in the truth of Jesus Christ. And we do pray for their children, for our children, that all of them would come to know Christ as their Savior. Father, we do thank you for this ruling from the courts about Roe versus Wade. We know, Lord, it is not enough. It is not enough to turn it back to the states. We know, Lord, that even in that ruling, they are not recognizing your authority over them and your word's authority over them, and that they are to promote and protect life. So, Father, we pray that you would continue to use people in this nation to fight against the murder of children, that you would stop abortion, and that you would hold those who do kill babies, who do kill other human beings who are your creatures, that they would be held accountable for their actions. But we also do pray, Lord, for their salvation. We know that laws and rules will not order the heart of man, but we know salvation will in Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Father, that you would raise people up in the lives of those who are even now considering aborting their babies, murdering their babies, that they might hear the gospel and their hearts be changed. We pray, Father, that you would do that. Have mercy upon them. We pray, Father, that you would stop abortion in our land and throughout the nations on in this earth. Father, we do also pray and we give thanks to you and pray for the several men who were examined this week during Synod and Presbytery meetings, who were examined, Lord, according to that they might show the progress of their work in the ministry. And having passed those exams, Lord, there are some who will be ordained soon to fulfill the pulpits and pastoral ministry in the churches that have called them. This is something, Lord, that we have been praying about often, something that we spent a day in several months ago in prayer and fasting. And so now, Lord, you have answered our prayer, and you are filling some of these pulpits. And so we ask, Lord, that you would now bring church and shepherd together and give them a wonderful and caring relationship that goes both ways, and that you, Lord, would use that relationship in the ministry of the church where they are going to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to their community and beyond. Father, I want to pray for Agena as she has a consultation tomorrow. Pray, Lord, that you give the doctors wisdom and insight and good understanding in Gina's situation. And pray, Father, that you would help them to minister to her the things that would be helpful to her. Pray, Lord, that you would give her peace about this whole situation. And Father, we do also wish to lift up to you Ron and Sandy again. Thank you, Lord, for their ministry amongst us, for their love amongst us. Thank you for the love that we have for them, which is surpassed greatly by your love for them. And we pray, Lord, that they would know that love today, that they are not, though they are not here with us, that your love ever remains with them. Pray, Father, that you would help us to show kindness and love to them. And we will have to do that, Lord, in intentional and extra ways, because they're not going to be with us here all the time, it may be. So help us, Father, to not forget them, as we would not want to be forgotten. And help us, Lord, to reach out to them and care and kindness. We pray, Father, that you would do that as well. Make your presence known with them. We do pray for Ron, especially, Lord, that you would make your presence known with him, that during this hard trial in his life, he would know the comfort of the Lord. Father, we do lift up to you Zach Smith and family, whom I was able to speak with this week at Synod, and be able to find out how we should pray for him. And Lord, we pray that you would help him in this very important task of training elders in the churches there in Sudan, that they might be thoroughly equipped, and they might be a workman and not ashamed, that they might be able to show their progress in the scriptures and their understanding of what it means to be a shepherding pastor. Lord, these men face many obstacles in this regard, just because of their culture and what they have been raised with. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help Zach to stick with the scripture and to trust in it and to be patient as you teach these men and bring them along according to the truth and understanding of scripture. Father, we do also want to lift up to you the church in Grandview and thank you for that work there, Lord, and they are continuing to be faithful according to your word, and pray for Pastor Barnes as he preaches the word to them, that he might remain faithful and they would receive your preached word and act accordingly. We do also lift them up to you, Lord, as they go out once a month on Saturdays into their community to proclaim the gospel, and pray that you would use that effort and to bring people to Christ. We pray, Lord, for their church's financial situation, which another update this past week revealed that it is still not good. And so we ask, Father, that you would give them everything that they are in need of, give them wisdom, give their leaders wisdom in how to deal with that situation, and provide for their every need, Father. Father, we do pray for our church, and we ask, Lord, that you would help it to grow in number, that you would add people to this church, because that would mean, Lord, you are adding people to your kingdom. And so we pray for that, Lord. Pray that here in our community, our witness would be manifested, that how we live and how we work, how we speak and how we play would be evidence of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And yet, Lord, we do also pray that you would open our mouths and help us to be bold to speak Christ to lost people. Help us, Lord, to think of what gift has been given to us. However it came about to us, Lord, somebody proclaimed Christ to us. Whether in the church or in the community, somebody saw our need to know Christ as our Savior. And may we also see that, Lord, in the lives of other people. And may we act accordingly as you give us opportunity to do so. And help us, Lord, to take the opportunity to speak of Christ to others. Father, we do ask now that you would cause us, enable us, and help us to be strong in both mind and body this afternoon as we prepare to hear your word preached in a few minutes, that we would be encouraged, strengthened in our faith, to turn away from sin, to walk in righteousness, and to glorify you with our life. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Let's continue worshiping God by singing Psalm 85b. Let's stand and sing Psalm 85b.
Do 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 do. All hear what God the Lord will say. Peace to his people he'll convey. To godly ones he's promiseless, if they refrain from foolishness. His saving help is surely near to those who worship him in fear. That glory great may ever which for his feet a path will show.
Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. I hesitate to tell you this as we get ready to read this scripture, but I'm going to be doing something today that I've never done before, and that's preach the same sermon to the same people, or at least in the same church, a second time. So this is the first time that I've ever done this, but it could be for some of you that this is the second time you will have heard this sermon. So don't let that turn your minds off, because chances are you don't remember what I preached over a year ago concerning this. So it's good to hear it again, because it's important for us to know what it means to receive the blessing of God. And that's what our sermon is today, the blessing of God. So as we look to Numbers chapter 6, we're going to read verses 22 to 27 and see what God says about this blessing that he gives to his people. This is the word of God. Please pay careful attention. Verse 22 of Numbers 6. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Promises here from God. Promises that are good for us to hear and good for us to be relying upon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, we do ask again, Lord, that you would prepare us to hear your word as it is preached and read. Two things, Lord, that you have ordained us to do in worship. And so we know, Lord, that you are behind them, you are commanding them, and you are sustaining them to be done. But also, Lord, as we study your word and hear it preached, about the blessing that is also part of our worship, the blessing that we receive from you, we pray, Father, that you would help us to grasp a greater hold of that blessing and that we would understand it better so that we would be strengthened, encouraged by it. Be reminded, Lord, of your grace and mercy that you have shown to us in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would do all these things by the power of your Holy Spirit who lives in us. We pray, Father, that you would bless this time of the preaching and reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've ever been to a church where the bulletin may have, and ours doesn't, used to, but the bulletin may say something like the benediction at the bottom, like the last thing that happens in a worship service. Ours now says God's blessing, simply to take away anybody's misunderstanding of what that word benediction means. Not everybody knows what it means, but it actually just simply means blessing. Okay, so when you see something like that in the bulletin, if you ask some people, they may or may not know what that word benediction means, and you might get some answers like the end of the service or the final prayer. And hopefully some people might say, well, that's the blessing. That's the time the pastor pronounces the blessing. But even if you know what that is and you know why it is called that, the question is, do we know what it really is? Is it the end of the service? Is it a traditional thing that churches say just to close out the worship service? Also, why do we do it? Because if we're doing it in worship, we should be seeing it as something that God has commanded us to do. We should know where it comes from, why it's so important, and what is our response to it. What is our response to it? Well, since it is something we do as a part of our worship, I want you to be reminded of what it is and what is the significance of it. Years ago, when I worked at Duke Energy in Indiana, each summer, Duke would hire the college-age kids of the employees and let them work there for the summer. And one summer, a young man came up to me. It was a young man who the Lord had given me an opportunity to witness to. As far as I know, he never came to know the Lord. But one day he did come to me, probably considering that I was a religious man and thinking that I might be able to answer this question. And so he asked me and he said, Can I give a blessing to people? And I said, What are you talking about? He said, Well, I'm getting ready to go to this rock concert, and I want to walk around the crowd because they're going to be sitting out on the grass, and I want to walk around the crowd and I want to say, Bless you, bless you, bless you. Now, trying not to take that lightly, but to use it as an opportunity to instruct him. I told him, sure, you can do that, but what is the effect of it? He had no clue, and he had no idea that there would be any effect of it. In fact, he quickly realized he would actually be doing nothing but saying the words, bless you, or God bless you. And we use that phrase a lot in our culture as well, don't we? You hear people saying, God bless you. You hear people saying, God bless America. And oftentimes, in many ways, that is a really a misuse of God's name and a misuse of the blessing. But at sometimes it is appropriate. And if we're saying it with truth and sincerity and wanting God to do something good for them, then it might be appropriate. But we cannot guarantee that God will do that just because we say the words, God bless you. But that is significantly different from the blessing that is pronounced here in Numbers chapter 6. It is significantly different from the blessing that is pronounced to you by the pastor at the end of a worship service. In worship, the blessing is important and relevant, and contrary to what some people might think, you actually need it, and you need it very much. Why? Well, God gives us this blessing to encourage and comfort and assure us. All these things are why God gives us this blessing. It is not just God's way of saying goodbye for the day. It is God's way of reassuring His people that He is looking on you with favor, and He is going to keep you, and He has put His name on you. And He says, even at the end of this verse, verse 27, and I will bless them. And that is what you should be seeking as you leave the worship service, even today, that you will have received the blessing of God. And so I want to preach this sermon to you in the form of five questions. Five major questions. And the first one is this. What is the blessing? What is the blessing? The blessing is real. It is full of power. The blessing is a pronouncement. Oftentimes you see, and I'm not arguing with people who might want to do this, but it does reveal that maybe that they don't really know what's going on, as some people will bow as if the preacher is praying when he gives the pronounced blessing. But it's not a prayer. It is a pronouncement. It is something that God is calling you to hear from Him. It is not a prayer of the preacher up for you or to God. He is simply pronouncing what God has called him to pronounce to the people on God's behalf. And so I called it a pronouncement. And that is different than an announcement. Announcement is some information that is made known to you. There are announcements in the newspaper. There are announcements, you know, maybe in bulletins that are posted on buildings or things like that, giving you some information. But a pronouncement is authoritative and formal. It carries with it the power to perform what is being declared because the person giving it has the power to do it. That's a pronouncement. And that's different than an announcement. And so it is with the blessing. It is from God directly. Though I may speak it, it is not from me. I am simply the one communicating the pronouncement. It comes from God, and it is a blessing that is certain to be carried out. Why? Because He has the power to do it. If that was just coming from me, of my own concoction, and I have heard ministers do that, to somehow create their own form of a benediction or blessing, which is not according to God's Word. There's no power in that. But when I pronounce something from the Word of God, there is power because it is backed up by God Himself, who cannot lie. And so the pronouncement, the blessing, we need to remember, is not just a series of words to end the service, but it is a pronouncement of God's care for you, of God's commitment towards you, and God's assurance that you are His. Another secondary question to that first one, which is falls under that, is how do you value the blessing? How do you value the blessing? Oftentimes, the quality of a worship service or its goodness sometimes is seen by how well the preacher did. Did the preacher preach something that met my felt need? Did the preacher preach something that struck a chord with me? Was it very exciting? Or did he really hit the truth, you know, right on the spot, right where I am? Oftentimes, the whole worship service gets its grade, so to speak, from how the preacher did in his preaching. And that's not how it should be. The preacher is not always going to hit it out of the park. Hopefully, he will not teach anything that is false. But even in his presentation and his delivery, it may not come across as well as it does some other times. But that's not what we should be seeking. We should be seeking to hear the truth. We should be seeking to hear what God says. And we should be coming really, truthfully, with an earnest desire to be blessed by God. And the scriptural blessing is something that while the preacher may not hit his sermon out of the park every time, the scriptural blessing is going to be right on target if he pronounces it from Scripture. And it is what you need to hear every Lord's day. And your most important need, whether you know it or not, is God's grace, love, and peace to be applied to you in Christ. And that is what you receive in the blessing. From number 6 and then from 2 Corinthians 13, which also is a blessing from the Lord, which I used this morning at the end of the first service. It may seem like an odd question, but I do want to ask you this question personally. Do you want the blessing of God? Now, who would answer no to that? Who would answer no to asking them, do they want God to bless them? Now, what does that mean to some people and to others may be different. But not everyone wants God's blessings. Some people are particularly and fairly satisfied with the things of this world, and they don't necessarily need God's blessing, as it is written here in Scripture. But we need to train our minds differently, and we need to train our minds to say, I want the blessing of God. I want to hear that blessing of God because it is real and it means something. You may recall that Jacob, when he wrestled with God, what would Jacob not do? He would not let God go until he blessed him. We need to take that attitude. That I want the blessing of God because it is real and it affects my life. So that is what the blessing is about. The next question we should ask is, who is this God who gives this blessing? We notice in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, there are three different phrases in this blessing, three different parts, and each one starts out with the name of the person who is doing the blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. And we know from other times in other sermons that that word, the Lord, is speaking of God's covenant name, Jehovah, which means He is in a relationship with those people through covenant that He is talking to. Also notice it is a triune blessing. It is one blessing, but it is like a three-in-one blessing. There are three parts to it. Just as the covenant God of Israel is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so this blessing is three-in-one. And this is who is giving you this blessing, the Lord God. The one and only living and true God. This is who has given you this blessing. Not the preacher. The preacher has no power to bless you. He has the call, as we'll talk about later, to pronounce the blessing that God is putting on you and giving to you. And so this blessing comes in three parts. It comes three in one. It's one total blessing. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, using that blessing that I used this morning, three parts, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Notice what Paul is saying. The triune God be with you. It is the triune God, the Trinity, God in the Trinity, God in three persons who carries out this great blessing towards you. This means that God carries out the blessing in who He is. What He's giving you is himself in this blessing. He is one God in three persons, always has been, and so he works this way to bless you. All three persons of the God blessing. As we look at this, I want to just make a run at something here to tell you that as we look at Numbers chapter 6, as this blessing corresponds to God, it corresponds to him in his three persons. It is not that they don't work together, but there is particular reference to each person in the Trinity in this blessing along with other scriptures, and we're going to look at this now. And the first blessing, so what I'm saying is three parts of this blessing, three persons in the Godhead, and each one participating in this blessing. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 20, blessing declares that God will keep us. This means to guard us, to keep watch over us. And this is exactly what Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17, verses 9 through 11, asking him to keep all those whom he had given him through his name. God the Father keeps us as he elects us, keeps us. What do you think that means? Keeps us, guards us, keeps watch over us. He keeps us from the evil one. He keeps us from damnation. He keeps us to himself as his children. He keeps us, just like you keep your children, and you seek to protect, you seek to care for them, and you care for them in your name. You ever realize how often you have to put out your name for your children? Whether on official documents or telling them who you are, or even as they tell somebody who are they telling them? Their first name and their last name, meaning they are your children. And it is your responsibility to keep them, just as God has made that his responsibility towards us. And God, in his keeping of us, in his blessing us in that way, loses none of those who are his. And so when we read this verse, the Lord bless you and keep you, it is a verse of comfort because God says, this is how I shall bless you, and I shall bless you by keeping you. I will not lose you. So if the devil ever comes and questions and says, are you really saved? Or causes you to question if you're really saved, and in fact you are, look back to this blessing and say, the Lord keeps me. The Lord keeps me. The second blessing, part of this blessing, declares that God will make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. In verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is to say he will face us and not turn his back. If you've ever had any relationships for any long time in your life, I know some of you are young and may not have experienced this, but most of you have probably experienced somebody turning their back on you, turning their face away from you, not just physically, but in how they are going to relate to you, to turn away from you and not relate to you. But here in this blessing, we see this, that God is saying he will face us. He will look at us. He will show us his face, which is another way to say, I'm going to favor you. I'm going to look on you with favor. And it's God the Son who is the person of the Godhead in whom we see the face of God. Gracious to us as he shows favor to us by shedding his blood, it is he who was and is just, suffered and died for us the unjust, and that is grace. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. How has the Lord been gracious to you? Ultimately, through the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been gracious to you. The Apostle John writes in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that God shows his favor towards you. Maybe he does it, and obviously he does it in other ways, but there is no greater way that God, the Trinity, shows his favor towards you and is gracious towards you but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes about this, not only the grace, but the shining of them, of His face upon them. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6, Paul writes this, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." See, that's what happens to you. God shines His face on you, His glory on you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." How does God shine His face, turn His face upon you and be gracious to you? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is also connected to the cross of Christ. When Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Just the opposite of this blessing was happening to Christ. For God was turning His back on Him that He might turn His face towards you. Turning His favor away from him who knew no sin, that He might show favor and grace to us who were dead in sin. It is in Christ that God has shown His face to us and has been gracious to us to save us. The third part of this blessing is that the Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Verse 26, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." The word countenance is the exact same word in Hebrew that is used for face. In this case, it is used in the sense of the Lord's lifting up His face, His countenance, the way in which He looks at His people that gives them peace. And this is that same work of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that even if our children, if they could understand this, they have experienced something similar to this, and you have too, in the giving of a look or the receiving of a look, maybe from a parent or somebody else in authority, but you know what it's like to have somebody look at you with grace and favor and peace, don't you? You know what it's like to have somebody look at you when there is no peace between you and them. But here, the way the Lord looks at us gives us peace. That is a promise. And that is a promise that the Lord will look at us with peace. Jesus said in John 14, verses 16 to 18, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." That gives us peace. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Jesus promised to give us the Holy Spirit, and his promise that he would not leave us as orphans in giving us the Holy Spirit was meant to comfort us, to give us a helper, a comforter, and a counselor, and that through his Spirit we would have peace. I don't know if you know any orphans, but one of the things that they don't have, as soon as that reality hits them, if they understand it, is peace. Because they don't know who's going to provide for them. They don't know who is going to love them. They don't know who is going to be gracious and merciful to them, because that was a role that was supposed to be their parents, and now they're not there. And so Jesus uses this illustratively speaking, "I will not leave you as orphans. I am going to give you my Spirit that you may have peace." And peace is just the opposite of fear. Romans 8 verses 14 tells us this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you receive the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out. You see, you have received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of adoption, the Spirit that makes you children of God and removes fear and gives you peace. And so we cry out, Abba, Father. That means that we have a Father. We're not orphans. And then we can have peace because this Father is going to fulfill His role of caring for us. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There is peace there. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. That whole passage is meant to speak to these Roman Christians that there is peace with God because He gives you His Holy Spirit and has made you His children. And to have peace with God is to know that you are His, that you're not an orphan. And that is the way that Jesus has made sure that He has not left us orphans, is by giving to us the Holy Spirit, that we might cry out to God, Abba, Father. And when I am in a secure relationship that is being illustrated here from child to father, when that is real, then I have peace. And that is made possible by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption. Jesus said in John 14, 25, speaking about the Holy Spirit, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How did Jesus give us peace, but through the Holy Spirit? It is our having the Holy Spirit that He witnesses to us, that we belong to God, that we are in a peaceful relationship with God, meeting all our needs through Christ Jesus. And so this part of the blessing comes through the work of the Holy Spirit, and God blesses us with peace. And we need peace. We need the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. And God blesses us and promises to bless us with that peace. Who do these blessings come from? From the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that is who the one and only living and true God is. And so when we see this here, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. It is the Holy Trinity who is blessing His people. He blesses us in a threefold way according to who He is. And the next question we will ask then is, to whom does this blessing flow? Look at verses 23 and 27. God says, He says, tell Aaron and his sons who will be priests, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. And then verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel. To the children of Israel. And who are the children of Israel? The people of God. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14, Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth when he prayed, Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He is talking to believers. If you looked at 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, you would see in Paul's address to them, to the church, he calls them saints, those called by God. And so these blessings are directed towards God's people. Now, do we see God blessing other people? How do you see walking on earth to some extent is blessed because they are alive and they are breathing? People have success in their careers. People have families, and sometimes they have good families who go on and on and on. They prosper. They're successful. Their crops grow. Their businesses grow. A common grace to them. But this blessing is not talking about a common grace. It's talking about special grace, particular grace. It's talking about a blessing of security and grace and peace. It's talking about a covenantal blessing in that the Lord uses His covenantal name and says, I, the Lord, The one who keeps covenant, who keeps promise, I, Jehovah, am giving you this blessing and my name. This is a covenantal blessing. From hell. He does not keep them to himself. The lost, those who reject him, he does not keep them as his children. God does not show to the wicked, those who would reject his saving grace. And they do not have the Holy Spirit of peace in their life. These covenantal blessings spoken of here in Numbers chapter 6 are for the people of God. God calls them out even here. Who is to be blessed? Not all the world. The children of Israel. In the New Testament we learn in Galatians that we are the Israel of God. We are the people of God. And so they are his covenantal people that receive, he puts his name on. And we see that in verse 27, still speaking about who receives this blessing? The ones that God has put his name on. God says in verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children. In giving the people of Israel this blessing from God, it was an act of saying, these people have the name of God upon them. These are Jehovah's people. Just like you give your children your last name, God is giving to his children his name and marking them with his name that they are his people. When Jesus said to the apostles, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that? In the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the name of God, his people, and it is to these people that these blessings do flow. And so if you have the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost upon you by faith in Christ alone, if he has given you his name, then these blessings are for you and all those like you who are the people of God. And he signs it by putting his name on you. By pronouncing this blessing, God is saying, you are my people. And just as Jesus commissioned those apostles to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into this covenant blessing, into the name of God, he also gave them the privilege and duty to pronounce this blessing, speaking about the apostles, which is the next question that we need to answer. Who pronounces the blessing of God? Well, we see it right here in verses 22 and 23. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, and then he gives them the blessing to say to them. So who pronounces this blessing from God? In the Old Testament, it was all the priests in Aaron's line, that priesthood, that Levitical priesthood that we spoke of this morning. In Leviticus 9, verses 22 to 23, we read this. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And so it was the priest's duty to bless the people, to pronounce this blessing from God. Well, we're not in the Old Testament era anymore. We're in the New Testament era. And in New Testament times, we see Jesus blessing his disciples in the same way. And we read that earlier this afternoon in Luke chapter 24. And I'll just remind you of verses 50 to 53. Speaking of Jesus, it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Even this morning in the sermon in Hebrews, we saw that Jesus is the only priest doing the work of a priest now. And Jesus was doing that work then as he blessed them and pronounced a blessing upon them. And Jesus is the only priest fulfilling a priestly office now as well as he continues that work. So it's perfectly appropriate for Jesus to give them this blessing. And while there are no offices of the priest today, though some churches do call themselves that, and I know you know the Catholic Church does, and other churches call their leaders priests, There are no priests today. Jesus is the great high priest, the one and only. But there are men who are called to declare and preach God's word. So the blessing is a declaration of God's word, his truth, and it falls to those whom God has called to minister his word to his people to pronounce this blessing. We see the apostles doing it. We read of their blessings in places like 2 Corinthians 13, also in Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21, and we read them in other letters as well. And so as the ministry of the word was in the calling of the apostles, and as that ministry has been passed on to the elders of the church, it is the duty of the elder, of the preaching, teaching elder, to call those who have been called to gospel preaching ministry to formally pronounce this blessing from God upon his people. It is his duty, you might say it is his privilege, but he is called by God to declare this blessing and to put the name of God on the people of God. And this leads to our last question and application. As you hear the blessing pronounced, what is your response? You're about to hear it in just a few minutes. How are you going to respond? I know I've probably been guilty of many things in this regard. Maybe you have too. But I know when I hear that blessing coming, that we're just minutes away from the service being over. And if you find yourself thinking that, you need to check your heart as to why you're even here. Why are you here? If you can't wait to get out, and that blessing signifies that you're almost ready to get out, then you must check your own heart and see, have I come so that I might receive the blessing of God, or have I come for a different reason? You know, as you stand up here and as I am the preacher, and I'm not saying I see this in you, but I've been places where I've seen it, where people about that time start to look at their watch or look at the clock, find out what time it is, how long they've been here. Did the preacher finish in time? But that's not the appropriate response. That's a sinful response. And whether we do it physically or that's how we're thinking, we need to repent of that, because this is the blessing of God. And God has promised to give it to you. And we see the appropriate response in the disciples when Jesus blessed them. Did you notice how they responded to this blessing? Back in Luke chapter 24. After Jesus blessed them, it speaks of them this way. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now that last part of being continually in the temple doesn't mean that they never left there. It means they came at the appropriate time. They came to worship God at the appropriate time when the church would be meeting. It was a priority to them because they wanted to receive the blessing of God. Not just the pronouncement of the blessing, but the actual blessing of God working in their life. But they didn't stop worshiping him. Even as they went home, they went back to their homes with great joy and kept going back to the temple, praising and blessing God. And it could only be that way if they truly grasped the meaning of it and the fact that it was real and full of power. They were about to go out and change the world. They may not have known it, but we know that's what they did. And we know that's what they needed, was this blessing of God. They were about to go face a world filled with opposition to Christ, fierce opposition to Christ. And they would need this blessing. They would need this encouragement. They would need this comfort to know that God would keep them, to know that God would be with them, to know that God would look favorably upon them and show them grace and give them peace. And so they received it with joy. They believed it would happen. They received it by faith. Why? Because it literally came from Jesus himself, the God-man. Now there may be a disconnect as you see the preacher or the pastor giving the blessing. But what I'm trying to instruct you is that when I pronounce the blessing, it is not from me. It is from the Lord. And you are to receive it that way. And we can see how we should respond by looking at how they responded. With joy, because they believed it was going to happen. They believed that God would keep them, that God would be gracious to them and give them peace. In the same way, each Lord's Day, we leave here to go out and face a world that is opposed to Jesus, that is opposed to our faith, that is opposed to everything that we believe, to our obedience and to our witness. In order to live in a world like that, we need the Lord to keep us, to be gracious to us, and to give us peace. And so the blessing is real, and is real for God's people today. And just as sure as God told Moses in the last part of verse 27, "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." I will bless them. That's what we should be coming for. Yes, to worship God. Yes, to hear God's word preached. But we should be desiring to hear that blessing because it is a reminder to us of how God works in our life. As the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it reminds us of all His work and His promise to bless us. And just as Jesus blessed the disciples, He blesses you as well and calls you to receive it with joy. And not only to receive it, but to lay claim to it for your encouragement, for your comfort, and for your assurance that God is with you. To God be the glory. May we understand from here on what this blessing really means and what it is in our life. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do seek to know You better, Lord. We do, Lord, want to know You better, to understand Your word and the blessing that You give to us in it. Lord, I do pray for this church that never again will we come to the end of a service and not have a greater understanding of what is happening when we hear the blessing of God upon us. That it would send us out, Lord, like it did the apostles, with great joy. I ask, Lord, that You would do that for Your people today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond to God in worship, taking our psalters and singing Psalm 67C. Psalm 67C. O God, show mercy to us, and bless us with Your grace, and cause to shine upon us the brightness of Your face. Let's stand and sing.
May truly know Your way, and
Psalm 134b. You'll sing that after receiving the Lord's blessing. Psalm 134b. People of God, the ones whom He has put His name upon, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 134b. Let us bless the Lord.